So we're here today to talk about the nuts and bolts of the writing business. What happens when we aren't writing? The admin, the marketing, the financing. There's lots more to a career in writing than just writing. We have a wonderful lineup of experts and authors to help take us through this side of writing we very rarely see. So I'm now very pleased to hand over to Fremantle Press publisher Georgia Richter, who will also be our MC today.
To the first panel, which is literary awards, grants and residencies, we have here Alice Nelson, Gail Jones in the middle there, and Winona Byrne on the end. Alice Nelson was recipient of the TAG Hungerford Award for her first novel, The Last Sky. That book subsequently received the Sydney Morning Herald's Best Young Australian Novelist Award for that year. Her short fiction, essays and reviews have appeared in publications such as the Sydney Review of Books, Southerly and the West Australian. Alice's second novel, The Children's House, was published by Penguin Random House in October last year. Gail Jones won the TAG Hungerford Award for her manuscript, a short story collection called The House of Breathing. She's the author of another short story collection and seven novels, including 60 Lights, which was longlisted for the Man Booker Prize, Dreams of Speaking, shortlisted for the International Impact Dublin Literary Award and longlisted for the Orange Prize, and Sorry, longlisted for the Orange Prize. Her most recent novel is The Death of Noah Glass. Winona Byrne became Director of Literature at the Australia Council for the Arts in April 2017, and prior to this she worked for 9 years as rights manager with Allen & Unwin, with extensive experience in pitching the work of Australian authors to international publishers. Before this, Winona worked at the literary agency Australian Literary Management. Please welcome our three panellists. So today we'll be looking at awards, residencies and grants and drawing on the expertise of these people. We really would like to talk about some of the logistics and about what's out there, the real practicalities of how you might go about applying for grants and residencies in particular. But you may think you're applying for something to help you write your book, but there are many other different benefits as well. So we want to think about that a little bit too. There will be advice, particularly from Winona, about how to write a successful application. And Winona is an absolute mine of information when it comes to applying for grants and so forth. And there will be definitely opportunities for questions at the end. I think we should just leap off with some definitions. What is the difference between an award, a residency and a grant? Winona, you might as well start.
Well, I did think that you wouldn't ask me this particular question straight up, but I'm happy to answer it. I was thinking about it, actually, beforehand, and in some cases, there's not very much of a difference. I mean, there is definitely a difference in a residency, but there are some awards that are for work already completed, but there are also awards to continue a work that might only be sketched out in the beginning to bring that to fruition. So there are more similarities in the grants and the awards. From the Australia Council point of view, and I think this is the same for other state-based organisations or the Copyright Agency, a grant is specifically to help a writer or an organisation complete a project. So it's to give them the funds, the time and space to make their dream, I guess, or their goal materialise for them. So it's not a badge of honour or a stamp of approval, which I think sometimes people feel that that's what a grant from the Australia Council is. It means I've kind of reached a point in my career where I've been recognised. It's not about that. It's specifically about the project that you're writing to us about, that you're describing in your application, and whether or not you've got all the things that you need in place to be able to complete that, except for maybe time and space, which is what the money gives you. And we do also run a few awards. There's two for younger writers, the Kathleen Mitchell Award and the Dale Stivens Award, but we also do have a Lifetime Achievement Award, of which David Malouf and many others have been recipients in the past.
Obviously, the philosophy behind this is that as a writer, you need an income in some format, and in fact this may be the only way that you can get time to write. Would you concur?
I mean, there seems to be an assumption that if you've published books you're wealthy. Most writers want time to complete a project. My situation was that I published two books with Fremantle Arts Centre Press, two very modest books of stories. And I applied with no hope of success to the Australia Council for the residency in Paris, which sounded very glamorous and exciting. And to my astonishment, I was successful. And that did then actually feel like an affirmation. I'm here as both a beneficiary and an adjudicator of these grants. I sit on a lot of these adjudicating panels across different cities and in different areas. And I do now know that it's the project. It really is the project. So it's worth thinking about crafting a project that sounds plausible, that sounds interesting, and that sounds as though you know something, you know what you're talking about. One of the issues, I think, is that people think it's a stamp of approval and that only certain people get the tick to go on. It's not like that at all. We read everything on the grants panels. We really do. We read all the samples of work. But the project description has to be crafted. It's really worth spending time on it.
So yesterday we were talking about blurbs and having a hook and drawing the reader in. Is it that kind of thing as well? You know, it must be an enticement, would you say, in applying? You know, can you look at a grant you receive and think, oh, that's because I really brought that one home, or it's a total mystery?
I haven't been involved in adjudicating grants, but I know that a grant that I was successful in applying for, I think I spent more time on crafting that project description than I spent on, you know, the chunk of the novel I was working on at the time. Mm. And I think that going on from what Gail said, you know, it can't just be a sort of line-by-line analysis of this is the book I'm writing. It's got to be something really compelling. And I was successful in getting that grant, but it actually really helped me clarify what I was doing. And mm-hmm. I was in the early stages of the novel that's just been published, and having to sit down for however long it took me, an inordinately long amount of time, and actually clarify what you're doing, why you're doing it, why it's different, what is the point of interest that would make an adjudicator think this is a project worth investing money in, has benefits other than just if you're successful in getting the grant. So yeah, I think that's a huge part of it for the outcome, but also for your own practice and clarity.
It's not a pitch and it's not a shout line. So when somebody says this will be a dazzling novel about a man who discovers that his mother's a transvestite, and you know, I mean,
that does sound dazzling. But
well, you sort of sit back in your chair and think,
yeah.
So it's not about selling the book that you want to write or the project you want to pursue. I mean, I think exactly what Alice said, clarifying for yourself what am I doing and what is feasible in mm-hmm. the time that I'm asking for. Avoid the sales pitch. Mm-hmm. I really think, in my experience,
totally agree with
those
that.
Of us on the panel are a bit put off by that.
I think you have to remember that people assessing grants, certainly at the Australia Council and almost every other state government body, are people like yourselves. I mean, they're writers. They're writers that understand what a writing project looks like. So they will smell a kind of dazzling pitch that sounds like something from the back of the novel. They'll scent that a mile off. They'll smell that and they'll go, you know, that does put them off. They want to be spoken to as equals, mm-hmm. and they want you to describe exactly what the project is, but also to convey a bit of your own passion and awareness of where that work might sit within the genre that you're mm-hmm. working, so that you have an understanding that there are other people working in this area, particularly, you know, if it's poetry or genre, that you see where your work is different and how it might sit within that genre.
So there are many elements to consider then. It's not only the project, but its context. Do you also need to think about who will be receiving your application? You know, in a way, it's going to an audience. Does it help to have contacted that audience, or to have a sense of, well, this is what maybe the Australia Council looks for, this is what a Paris residency would be looking for, or
I mean, anything. It's important to look at the criteria, most definitely. But no, you don't have to. I mean, the peers change all the time. The peers are drawn from all around Australia. We try and get a genre representation as well, you know, at least a couple of poets and a First Nations writer. So, you know, it's a very much a cross-section. And we don't release the names of the peers until after the applications are announced, the successful applications are announced, so we would discourage you from trying to work out who they are. We want the process to have the rigour that it needs to be able to be fair.
So where does one go to find what's out there, what sorts of awards and residencies are available?
Your Writers' Centre, local mm-hmm. Writers' Centre, is a great place to start. The Australia Council has some information on the website as well. But I think start local because, I mean, it was interesting to hear that, you know, these two wonderful writers won the Hungerford Award. So obviously that was a local thing for you at that time. So I think start with the contacts that you have already and then broaden out from there.
There's also some wonderful lists you can subscribe to that send you updates every month of which awards and grants are happening, and you know, internationally as well as in Australia, competitions, residencies, and I often get a thing in my inbox of here's five residencies that are closing this month, and that can be really useful. It sort of jogs you and makes you think about them, whether any are applicable to you. So there's lots of those kind of lists and subscription services too.
One of these sites is called Res Artists, R-E-S-A-R-T-I-S. And Res Artists is a kind of aggregation site that has 400 residency places in 70 countries, so everywhere, Mexico to Zimbabwe to Spain. Now, not all residencies are funded. And it's really important to know that if you need time to write, instead of saving up for the holiday to Bali, maybe you want to, and I know this is sounding like a space of privilege, but maybe you want to go somewhere and you want to go there to write and to work. And so it's worth looking at these sites, and you can scroll down and find the ones that offer literature spaces to write. So you're getting accommodation somewhere that is defining you as a writer and allowing you to just go for it and be in the zone. And not have to go to the supermarket and, you know, drive on the highway and all of the things you do. And I met a young couple from Melbourne last year who had just come back from a residency in Slovakia, one in Greece, and one in Spain. And that was their way of travelling around Europe, was actually to locate these places to use. And it was much cheaper than travelling, going to hotels, I can tell you. And one of them actually had a small stipend, so it actually gave a small wage. But this idea that you might actually apply for things that aren't funded is also really important for emerging writers. The Melbourne crew seemed very keyed into this. They obviously all talked to each other. And I remember when I was writing in WA, sometimes feeling a bit outside the loop of those opportunities. But there are these things too, it's really worth knowing about. And you might do something like crowdfunding. So this couple had done crowdfunding to get money to apply for residencies. Or you might find a sponsor. Or, you know, you can be creative and show some initiative and thinking, okay, yes, I need a month. I really need a month to get going on this project. Is there somewhere that can give me space and time? And it doesn't have to be at some glamorous location abroad. It could be in Australia. It could be Varuna, for example, which has a lot of emerging writers' opportunities.
The Australia Council runs two specific residencies for writers. One's the B.R. Whiting Studio in Rome, which is a six-month residency, and the other one is a three-month residency at the Kiesing Studio in Paris. Those are the two regular ones we run, but any writer is able to apply to the Australia Council with a self-devised residency. So you might find one of these residency opportunities that Gail's just spoken about via this link, and maybe it doesn't have a stipend attached. You can come to the Australia Council, and if you get accepted to that program, you can come to Australia Council and apply for the additional funds that would be required to get you there or to sustain you while you are there. So you can make up your own residency.
Yeah, I remember doing an assessment for the Australia Council before Winona's time in the olden days. And it was the first time we'd considered self-managed residencies, I think they're called. It was someone who wanted to go to Bhutan because she was working on happiness, on this idea, you know, we know that Bhutan is the happiest place on the planet. And she had letters of support. She knew where she was going. She had investigated where she would stay. She'd sent us a budget. She'd done everything. And I think that was the moment the Australia Council thought, why not? It's very hard to get into the Rome or Paris studio now. Back when I applied, back in the day, there were many less people applying for these things. I think now it's much, much harder to get them. But if you would want to do a self-managed residency, do some work. Find out where you would go, why you want to go there. You know, feed it into the project, and you'll be taken seriously. And I think that was a huge shift in the Australia Council to allow that flexibility and that originality and that kind of curiosity of writers to think, actually, I do need to go, say, to Melbourne for this historical thing that links Ballarat and the goldfields or whatever. You know, there are ways in which you can contrive or, you know, compose something to suit your project, the project that only you can do. You can get very easily disappointed sort of applying for something that several hundred other writers apply for, and a lot of them are very good, and a lot of good writers miss out. But if you can construct something more specifically yours, or begin, as Winona said, locally, and then sort of build towards something, you have a much better chance of success.
Which I guess ties in with Alice's observation about how much time you said you put into that application, that you're really thinking about the entire context of it too. What if I went here and did this, and how can I make that happen? It's really nice to hear the Australia Council's flexibility there. And then also, obviously, with local writer centres around Australia, there are hot desks and mentorships, and there's a space there.
There are a lot of opportunities which are fantastic, but you know, you might not know about them. So that's where you start talking to the local writers' centres. Baruna has the Catherine Susanna Pritchard residency as well here for WA writers. There are a lot of small opportunities that will give you a bit more time and support while you write. The ASA is another, the Australian Society of Authors is another great source of information on that.
And I guess another question that often comes up as far as, say, a budget goes, when you're filling out the budget section, is it enough to say, I just need this much money to buy me the time to write?
More or less, on an individual level, yes. For an organisation applying, then no. For an individual, you need to work out how many days a week you want to be writing. If you have to give up a job to enable you to do 2 days a week writing, then you can evaluate what that loss of income is worth and put that in the application. You don't have to go into details of groceries and all those sorts of other things. It's just about how much time you think you'll need. And then if you have other needs, like if you have special carers, you know, requirements, or children that need to be cared for while you're writing, you can add those into your application as well. If you're working in a remote area and costs are just higher for you to do your research, then you can add additional costs for that. Without getting into the nitty-gritty, unless people really want to, I would just say call us. That's in fact the primary message I would like people to leave with, is just call us, because there are 12 grants officers at the Australia Council plus myself that can talk you through all that. And it's not that hard when you have some guidance.
Gail, I think the other one we haven't touched on yet is AsiaLink, and you've had some experience there too,
yes,
haven't you?
So I was on the AsiaLink committee for a long time. The AsiaLink is based in Melbourne. It has multiple funding, but mostly by the Maya Foundation, you know, the Maya department store. They're huge, or Maya family rather, are huge philanthropists in the arts. I can't remember which Maya now, but he was married to a Japanese woman and decided that he wanted to set up a lot more cultural exchange between Australia and Asia. And they are all residencies. The AsiaLink residencies are 2 or 3 months, and they're negotiable. They're across 17 countries. So Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Indonesia, Japan, you name it, you get $12,000, I think, for 2 to 3 months. And $12,000 goes a long way somewhere like Vietnam, not so good if you're going to Japan. However, it's a grant system that supports emerging writers. And they have so many of the grants, so it's at least 17 a year, but sometimes more. And many, many emerging writers have had an opportunity through AsiaLink. A again, it helps to have a project where you need to go to Vietnam to do it. If you're writing about the Vietnam War, maybe you really need to go to Vietnam. So we'd look at the projects carefully, and I do remember someone applying for a residency in Singapore because she wanted to experience living in a hotel. And she was arguing that if with 2 months in a five-star hotel in Singapore, she could write some extraordinary postmodern novel. And that one didn't fly for obvious reasons. So evincing a little cross-cultural curiosity and maybe even showing that you know a little bit about where you might want to go is very important for Asia Link. It's like the Australia Council, the peers change quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the chair, so I was there for several years, but we had a lot of different peers in different writing forms to try to keep it open, flexible and fair, you know, to make sure that it didn't sort of bossify in some ways. About 8 years ago, I got a phone call from China saying, would you like a residency in Shanghai? And I said, oh, that's exciting. It was the first time the Chinese Writers Association, which is, of course, part of the Communist Party, the first time they'd invited foreign writers. They invited one from Japan, one from Canada, and me from Australia. And at the end of that residency, I wrote them a little report saying, you can't do this. You can't ring up someone you've heard of and say, come. You have to join with an institution to make the process fair and to invite people who really want to go to Shanghai, to invite them to apply. And so now the Shanghai Writers Association, which is the biggest one after Beijing and part of this structure, they've linked with Asia Link. They have a two-month residency, September, October, and they support emerging writers too. And anyone here can get to Shanghai if you want to apply to that one because it's a very open one, and I'm still in touch with the people in that scheme because they want young writers from Australia to come. Sorry, when I say young, I mean they want emerging writers, and I should add that my mother got an Asia Link grant when I was off the panel at the age of 76 because her project was a feasible project. I had nothing to do with it. And they didn't know she was my mother, otherwise she wouldn't have applied. So this was the deal we had. So, you know, it's not about age, it's about being an emerging writer with a project where you need time.
Thank you. Alice. I wonder what difference to you it made winning first the Hungerford and then the Sydney Morning Herald at the very beginning of your career. When I say that, I'm sure you had been doing writing before that, but I suppose that was a kind of a marker. What difference did winning those awards make to you?
Well, I think the Hungerford was enormously important because of the practical sense of then having the publishing contract with Fremantle Press, but also feeling part of this extraordinary lineage of amazing West Australian writers like Gail and Brenda Walker and others that had come before me. And that was enormously affirming because, yes, it had been many, many years of hard slog on the manuscript. And I think, you know, one of the things I think is important to remember is that everything builds on itself. And when you're applying for one award or one mentorship or one residency, often there are links and connections you form that will help you for the next stage of your career. I know that for me, some of the connections I've made at various residencies have then helped me. You know, I met my agent through a friend I met at Varuna and lots of other lovely links like that. So, the Hungerford was huge. And it's really nationally recognised. You know, it's not just seen to be a local WA thing. I was surprised at the prestige with which it is seen nationally. And then the Sydney Morning Herald, which is an award for writers under 35, so young writers in the age sense. You know, another really lovely affirmation, but also, you know, when I'm then applying for grants or residencies, something really fabulous to have on your resume. And, you know, in that lovely serendipitous way, you know, Susan Windham was the judge of the Sydney Morning Herald, so when I came to apply for a grant, she wrote a support letter for me. We're going to be on a panel next week at the Adelaide Writers Festival. So I think that along the way you can make these wonderful connections, which are enormously important for your own personal life, but also for your career. So I think to see things as steps and links and a journey, and that you might not always expect the benefits that you get from different awards, grants or residencies. So, yeah.
So that the same thing then applies for residencies, you would say that you think I'm applying just to get some time to write, but what sorts of other benefits flow from these things?
Well, I think, you know, I've had a few residencies internationally and in Australia, particularly at Varuna, and my first thought was, well, it's a month or however long to work on the book, and that is the primary reason you go there. But I didn't really anticipate all the other benefits I would get, and one of those is that lovely affirmation of I'm not alone, that there are other people for whom writing is the most important thing. And I remember once walking along the top floor of Varuna and all these shut doors, and you know, you don't hear the sound of scribbling anymore, but knowing that everyone is working. I guess for me, learning so much about the industry through the peers I've met at those residencies in... I lived in the States for many years, and you know, a professor I met on residency encouraged me to apply for a master's and wrote me a support letter. At Varuna, I've met people that have become mentors and manuscript consultants and editors, and have linked me in with other wonderful opportunities. So yeah, I think, you know, you obviously don't go to residency thinking, you know, what connections can I make that will be good for my career, but that's certainly something that has been really important for me.
Well, it occurs to me that one thing we haven't raised is the Next Chapter Fellowship, which is based in Melbourne, but it's for anyone across Australia. It's only for emerging writers. It's $15,000 and it's for 1 year mentoring. You're given a writing mentor for your project, invited to things, offered proper support. And that kind of thing, it's called Next Chapter. If you look up Wheeler Centre on the internet, you'll find it. So it's under the Wheeler Centre, but it's for writers everywhere. It's just based in Melbourne. And a year's mentorship, too, will automatically connect you to other writers, to maybe to an agent, maybe to, you know, whatever. I think that Alice is right. There are these human dimensions. It's about your writing life partly as an imaginative connection to a community of writers, because it is a lonely, depressing business sometimes being a writer, and it's very easy to lose confidence. We all do. Every writer I know worth their salt loses confidence at some point. And just having, you know, a few other people who've been through it too. Here you've got KSP and you've got the Tom Collins?
Fellowship.
But the two, I think the two important ones in the eastern states are Varuna, and a lot of WA writers have been to Varuna. And when I was teaching here at UWA, getting sick and desperate and feeling worn out, I applied to Varuna and was given 4 weeks in Varuna, and it really saved my life and saved my manuscript. I just needed to get away and up into the mountains and to do something. So they have a lot of WA writers at Varuna. And they used to have a specific program called Long Lines, which I'm not sure they have anymore, which was targeted at Northern Territory, WA and Tasmania to get more writers in, so that it wasn't always Melbourne and Sydney, which really, you know, it does afflict WA writing, this idea that all the important writing is happening on the eastern seaboard, and we know it's not. And there's amazing writing happening in WA. This is actually incredibly exciting for me to see that there are so many people writing now in WA and, you know, taking it seriously enough to give up time to come to something like this. You know, it's a real sign of dedication, I think.
Winona, would you like to see more applications from WA writers?
You bet. Yes. In fact, it can be kind of frustrating for us at the Australia Council because we would love to see more applications from WA writers and organisations. And yet often, obviously, we hear about how, I guess, people have this perception that it's something for, you know, the eastern states are prioritised or privileged in that. That's absolutely not the case. And we really try very hard for the peers to represent the national demographic. So we've got WA writers or or people from organisations on those peer panels, giving us the context and background that we might be missing about WA experience. So, yes, please, that is a myth. I don't know if it still exists, but I know that some people do feel that they're on the outer. And I can understand, of course, geographically there is a great divide, but in terms of Australia Council, that's not the case.
There is a difference, obviously, between awards you get for something once it's published, like the Sydney Morning Herald, versus a manuscript award. So the Hungerford is one of those, and Fremantle Press has recently announced the Fogarty Literary Award for under 35s, which will be in alternate years, so keep your eye out for that too. I think the Australia Council, you mentioned, has a couple of awards as well.
The Dale Stivens, which is for short stories or essays, and the Kathleen Mitchell, which is for novels or novellas. But because those two are bequests, they come with a lot of rules, bequest awards, so shout out to people who might leave some money. Please just make it open, because sometimes it can be very restrictive. So those two awards are for authors who are published under the age of 30, so published works under the age of 30. So that is a smaller pool. There are others, as Gail mentioned, that are much broader and more open.
Your local writing centre can be a good conduit, as can Writing WA, to what awards are out there that you can...
And even something like AsiaLink, which sounds very sort of generalised, there's an obligation to fund at least one person from WA, because the WA Arts Department gives us money. So, you know, we always choose one WA writer, which I think is why my mum got it, actually, because... and I don't mean to disparage my mother, but, you know, she wasn't a very famous writer, or she just happened to have a good project in a year that very few people applied. And some of it is strategic. It's about, instead of going for the glamorous thing, going for the thing that you might have a real shot at. And actually, with something like AsiaLink, that means probably not applying for Japan. So there'll be 200 applications to go to Japan, and 3 years in a row, no applications to go to the Philippines. So, you know, it could be that you need to be strategic in your thinking about what might I have the best shot at getting, and what actually does my local government support in terms of funding that gives me an opportunity. What Alice said about the steps along the way, I think, is really worth keeping in mind.
I was just going to add to that, and that point that Alice made about the steps along the way. I mean, these opportunities that are available, you need to think about what you need at the moment that you're working. So a residency is a different opportunity, because you're on your own in a residency situation, usually. Not for Runa, of course, which has a lot of support. But if you're going overseas, you know, you are essentially devising your own program. So I would say that probably suits somebody who has a very clear idea. They've already done a lot of work on what their novel or their stories or their essay collection, and they just need time to put it all together, or they need to do some specific research in that location, which will really help them do that. But if that's not where you're at, then maybe a residency's not for you. If you're just starting a work and you've got some ideas, you may have written some short pieces on that work, then that's probably more of a project grant to someone like the Australia Council. So think about what you need at the point of the work that you're applying for. I think that will dictate which thing is actually best suited.
And this is called the business of being a writer. So I guess what you're each reinforcing is that being strategic is important, being informed is important, and being authentic as well, not concocting something, but really thinking about your project and
yeah, that's right. I mean, I'd be interested to hear from these writers at what point they thought that they were ready to apply for a grant. Alice, when you had your successful application, were you kind of, you know, what point of the work was it?
Well, I think there's, you know, as Gail was talking about, this lack of confidence. I think that it takes a long time. Well, for me it did, to say I'm a writer and to sort of answer that when people ask you what you do. So for me it wasn't until I was working on my second novel. So I had published my first, which had won the Hungerford, and the Sydney Morning Herald Award, and I think that sort of gave me the burst of confidence to think, well, maybe I could now apply for a grant. So it was at the beginning of my second novel, so quite a way into the journey, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was enormously helpful because it bought me that time to... I was working full-time, and as part of my budget, I was able to have 2 days off a week for a year to write, and that was just the most enormous privilege to have 2 full days when I wasn't working and devoting them to writing, and, you know, it really kick-started that novel, so it was incredibly helpful.
Well, thank you. Obviously, Winona is just a phone call away, or as is the Australia Council, if you have more specific questions. I think I've gained a lot just thinking about how very much you can tailor something to your needs, and I find that quite exciting to think about. It's a lot more freeing than I imagined. So I've gained something.
Oh, that's good.
And would you all like to join me in thanking our panel?